In your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah this morning. Nehemiah, I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and then come back and read verse 5, because that will be our text. The topic today is the great and terrible God. Nehemiah 1 through 6. And let's have a word of prayer before we begin today. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the privilege of being in your house on your holy day with your people. We pray for your Holy Spirit's presence today, that convicting us of our sins, showing us our need of a Savior, building us up in the most holy faith. We pray for this church as they search for a pastor. Pray that your Holy Spirit would lead them to just the right man that you would have to shepherd the flock here. We pray, our Father, again, thanking you for this opportunity to proclaim your holy word. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen. Now we're going to turn to a lot of scriptures today, and so let me ask you to do this. I'm going to read a lot more than the ones we turn to, but I will let you know which ones I would like you to turn to. Otherwise, I'll just quote them to you. So let's begin by reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Go back to verse 5 now. I want to read the first part of it. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. The God of American Christianity is a wimp God. Modern Christians have taken from the Bible its awful doctrines, and from providence its terrible acts, and the whole Christian system has been emasculated. Worship services for this God are loud, frivolous, irrelevant celebrations of who knows what. The worship of this God consists largely of worldly, fleshly entertainment and feel-good, doctrinally unsound music and preaching, or maybe I should say speaking. I once attended a service in a Southern Baptist church not so long ago that included a song with the following lyrics. I had to go back and ask the pastor if this is what I really heard. Quote, be kind, be humble, and if you sleep with someone, be sure it's someone you love, unquote. Really? The God of the Bible is unknown in most of the churches in our land today. In today's message, I will declare unto you some things about the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is is different, totally, than what is being presented in today's churches. He is the God whom Nehemiah describes in this text this morning as the great and terrible God. Now, you don't hear people talking about God being terrible to them, do you? In the message this morning, I want us to consider three things. First of all, that God is a great God. Secondly, that God is a terrible God. And thirdly, I want to make some practical applications of these things. First of all, our text tells us that God is a great God. God is great. I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated great here includes in its meaning the thought of importance and significance. It also includes the thoughts of largeness, magnitude, fame, dignity, and majesty. All of those things are involved in this word. Much of God's word is occupied with describing or ascribing greatness to God. Jeremiah 32:18 speaks of God as the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Moses said in Deuteronomy 32:3, ascribe ye greatness to God. Now turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 22. Second Samuel 7:22 says, David said here, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. David recognized that we have a great God. Also turn to Psalm 86 and verse 10 for another statement by David about the greatness of God. Psalm 86 and verse 10. David is speaking to God here, and he says in Psalm 86:10, Psalm 86:10, O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. So everything about God is great. His works are great. Psalm 92:5 says to God, O Lord, how great are Thy works. Let's think about some of the great works of God. God's work of creating this world was great. Psalm 33:8-9 says that in creating this world, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Think about that. God just one day said, let there be light. And there was light. And all of those things. He spoke the world into existence. God's work of redemption is great. In devising the plan of redemption in which God could remain just and yet justify sinners, God is great. Now you think about that. Who else could have come up with that plan? Where God could remain a just and holy God and yet say, I forgive your sin. He came up with a plan that He could do that. God is great in His plan of redemption. In sending His Son through the miraculous virgin birth to become a man who could obey God's law perfectly in the place of His people, God is great. In allowing His Son to take the sins of His people upon Himself and suffer the equivalent of eternal hell in the place of all those guilty people, God is great. Only God could do that. In raising His Son from the dead and thereby conquering death, God is great. this great God is the one who is able to hear and answer our prayers. He's the one who's able to keep us from falling. I feel sorry for the Church of God people because they think they can lose their salvation. But I wouldn't mess with a God who could not keep me in salvation. God is great to keep us from falling and to save us for all eternity. God has displayed His greatness time and again in His works of overthrowing His enemies. All that God has already done proves His greatness, and what He will yet do will further display His greatness. He's not through yet. God is great in the promises that He makes to His people. 2 Peter 1:4 says that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. God is great in regard to the size of His empire. Now, the Roman Empire ruled all the known world at one time. Caesar was, he had a great empire. That was kid stuff. That was nothing compared to God's empire. God is great in His empire. Psalm 103 and verse 19 says, His kingdom ruleth over all. Psalm 47:2 says, For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. God is the sole and absolute monarch of all lands. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. God is great in His attributes. His attributes are His many character traits. God is omniscient. That means He knows everything. He's all-knowing. God is omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. God is omnipresent. That means He's present everywhere. Sometimes God's attributes are summed up and included in the phrases God's name and the name of the Lord. Anytime those phrases occur, They are summing up God's attributes, God's character traits. God's name is the sum of all of His attributes or all of His character traits. Turn to Psalm 99:3, which says that God's name is great. Psalm 99 and verse 3. Psalm 99:3. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. God's name is great. Beware, therefore, my friends, of using it lightly or in profanity. How daring and how dangerous to take the name of the great and terrible God in vain. In cursing. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, The Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh His name in vain. Now turn to Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19 says that God's goodness is great. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. God's goodness is so great that its treasures can never be exhausted. You know, any one of us ought to be able to stand up today and say, God was good to me in this. You know, God's good to us just to let us be here. God's duration is great. He is the eternal God. Psalm 102 and verses 25 to 27 says, The great God is eternal. Let's turn to that. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Psalm 102, 25 through 27. God's duration is great. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God is great, and the length of his reign, turn to Psalm 145, verse 13. Psalm says to God,
spiritual view of God. We pray that sinners would be have their hearts changed and that they would come to Christ in faith and repentance, even today. Help us all to love you more and to be more bold in our prayers and to speak up.